the 1450 WHTC and WHTC.com newsroom, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. It's 12:05, and I'm Gary Stevens. This news is brought to you by Marsilia Insurance. You can't blame the weather for not going to the polls today because the weather is good for the first Tuesday in November. A look at Allen's hometown forecast from WHTC.com follows this news. This is Municipal Election Day along the lakeshore and across Michigan, with a couple of contested city council races, two millage requests, and a merger question highlighting the local ballot.
In the city of Holland, there are three contested seats for city council. 2 years ago, a proposal to expand Holland's anti-discrimination ordinance to include sexual orientation and gender identity did not pass. Council member at large Nancy Dubar, 3rd Ward Council member Brian Birch, and 5th Ward Council member Todd Whiteman voted against that proposal. Dubar will face Donald Martin, the first openly gay person to run for city council. Birch's opponent is Richard J. Burlingame. Darlene DeWitt is challenging Todd Whiteman. Mayor Kurt Dykstra is running unopposed, as is 1st Ward Council member Mike Trethewey. Diane Costin, WHTC News.
Now, Mayor Dykstra feels that any hard feelings on the campaign trail be smoothed out in chambers.
Regardless of who wins elections, there's an unofficial code of conduct that comes into play, and elections are one thing, governing is another, and we move very quickly from the campaign season to the governing season, and we conduct that in a very civil, courteous way, even when we disagree.
There are four persons vying for three spots on the Saugatuck City Council. Incumbents Bill Hess, Jeff Spangler, Henry Van Singel, along with challenger Wendy Wise Fisher. The Holland Community Swimming Pool Authority is asking for a full mill increase in its five-year levy to meet operational and maintenance needs. And Superintendent Cal DeKuyper in Zeeland Public Schools is asking for passage of a 10-year, one-mill renewal of its sinking fund levy.
Roofing is probably the big one. Playgrounds, carpeting, window upgrades, making sure safety and security upgrades, all of that. And what we look at is an annual, so we are always up to date, and we have a full plan of what comes when.
The most attention in Michigan is the Detroit mayoral race. Incumbent Dave Bing is not seeking re-election, so Mike Duggan looks to become the first Caucasian chief executive in the Motor City since Roman S. Gribbs declined to run for re-election in 1973. Duggan is leading in most polls over Wayne County Sheriff Penny Napoleon. The new mayor will still have limited power due to the current installation of emergency manager Kevin Orr. The U.S. Justice Department is having monitors at the polls in both Detroit and in the Detroit enclave of Hamtramck to ensure compliance with the Federal Voting Rights Act due to allegations of past violations. Now, while most of the state's attention on this municipal election day is on that Detroit mayoral race, perhaps a more impactful issue in Michigan is being decided on the other side of the Lower Peninsula among far fewer voters. Should those living in Saugatuck and Douglas pass a referendum question, the process of merging those two cities into a single governmental entity would begin. Bobby Gaunt and the rest of the Consolidated Government Committee have spent the better part of 3 years battling for this day.
We felt voters deserve the opportunity to decide whether the savings, improved services, and significant community investment that could arise from consolidation would serve their interest. The voters should be the ones to decide whether our community would be better served with a single, more efficient, unified government.
Bill Hess and Citizens for Independent and Cooperative Communities dispute the CGC's claims and are fighting to maintain the status quo.
The most important reality is the effect consolidation would have on the individual and unique identities of Saugatuck and Douglas. We love these places we live, whether it be Douglas or Saugatuck. These places are why we came here, and that's why we stay here. Each town has its special, unique character. Consolidation will change that.
Other municipalities across the state considering similar mergers are watching the Saugatuck-Douglas results closely. They say all politics is local, and local politicians will have much more direct impact on your life than congressmen or elected state representatives ever will.
Why do so few people turn out for city elections? WMU political science professor John Clark says it's because they don't know who's running.
With presidential elections, almost everybody knows who the candidates are. Almost everybody knows at least a little bit about what the candidates stand for.
A typical city election will bring out 20 to 25% of the voters if the weather is nice, and it's nice today. Jim Whelan, WHTC News.
One more election note, Michigan lawmakers discussing national efforts to reform the U.S. Electoral College.
Republican Representative Pete Lund from Macomb County says the system in place now marginalizes much of the country, leading to many candidates focusing disproportionately on a handful of states. He says reforms could lead to more attention from candidates for Michigan.
Well, we need to be one of the states that people actually care about rather than one of the states that's just assumed is for one party or the other. We want to be a part of the discussion so that the issues of the people of Michigan matter to the people running for president.
Several plans are being considered in several states, including a straight popular vote system, another plan that would divvy up electoral votes by congressional districts, and another that would split state electoral votes up proportionally, as opposed to the winner-take-all system currently in place.
Sam Harold, WHTC News.
Although Holland Public Safety hasn't made any conclusions, the pre-dawn armed robbery of a convenience store off of River Avenue and 16th Street yesterday has some similarities to a holdup of a Jennison gas station convenience store on October 22nd. Now, in both cases, the suspect wore a Halloween-style mask and was dressed completely in black. The robber at the Speedway on Baldwin in Jennison brandished a knife, while the clerk at the Shell station in Holland believed that the suspect was pointing a gun underneath the hoodie. Both suspects fled on foot with an undisclosed amount of cash. Neither clerk was hurt. And the lack of a scent a short distance from the store in each case implied that the perpetrator jumped into a nearby vehicle and drove off. No suspect in either incident is in custody, and surveillance camera photos of both robbers are posted on our website at WHTC.com. Anyone with any information is asked to call 911 or Silent Observer. An Ottawa County Sheriff's deputy is in trouble with the law. Allegations surfaced late last month that an unnamed man in brown had what was only described as an inappropriate conduct with a female inmate at the county jail. Under Sheriff Greg Steginga, who oversees internal investigations within the department, didn't waste much time in looking into the matter.
Some information came forward about, you know, some misconduct that was alleged, and we obviously want to look into that.
The deputy was suspended on October 30th, and Steginga intends to have the probe completed, quote, as soon as is practical, end quote, in order to make a final determination based on its findings. Procrastinating City of Holland residents who haven't raked leaves out to curbs or shoulders for crews to collect are getting a little bit of a break due to what one official says are trees that are not cooperating by dropping their leaves. The city's annual fall leaf program has been extended 1 week through November 16th. The guidelines remain the same, though, as only leaves will be picked up. Piles that have branches or other debris in it won't be touched and must be disposed of privately. This is apparently the last chance to do some outside cleaning up before winter, as Holland's spring yard program doesn't begin until March 22nd. Speaking about winter, this is Winter Hazards Awareness Week.
Winter Hazards Awareness Week's being observed all over Michigan just as the winter season comes upon us. Kelly Hudson with the Red Cross of West Michigan says there are certain things Michiganders ought to be thinking about this time of year.
It is important to think about doing this now before the snow comes, just because after that it kind of gets challenging and it's better to be proactive. So one thing that people should do is get their furnaces and their chimneys inspected if they haven't done that yet.
That's because furnace malfunctions can lead to carbon monoxide production and blocked chimneys are a fire hazard. Also, before the winter hits, Hudson says people are advised to put emergency kits in their cars in case they wind up stranded somewhere. Andrew Green reporting.
Dovetailing coverage from CBS, the Obama administration official oversaw development of the TroubledHealthCare.gov website is facing a Senate panel today. Marilyn Tavener, chief of the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, is fielding questions from the Democratic-led Senate Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee about the disastrous rollout of Obamacare. Fred Upton has already had two hearings on the matter before the House Energy and Commerce Committee, which he chairs. And the St. Joseph Republican has come away with the impression that the White House is just in over its head on this.
They give us the assurance that, in fact, the website's secure, that the personal information that individuals are putting into that are safe from hackers and identity thieves. I'm not sure that that's the right answer.
Last week, Tavener testified before the House Ways and Means Committee and apologized for the website's problem, but Upton feels that sorry should be more of a descriptive word in this case.
The track record so far has been sorry. I mean, it's really been pathetic and terrible. You've got so many people who are losing their insurance. they're promised every which way that they could keep it, and it's going to be a long time, I think, before they can recover. We'll see.
White House spokesman Jay Carney says that glitches are being fixed incrementally. The site is performing a little better each day, and the aim is to still have the website totally functional by the end of the month. Josh McCown threw for 2 touchdowns. Robbie Gould booted 2 field goals. And the Bears won in Green Bay last night, 27-20. Chicago hosts the Detroit Lions at Soldier Field this coming Sunday. Coverage on 1450 WHTC begins at 12 noon. Third period goals by Matt Halichuk and Andrew Ladd enabled the Winnipeg to beat the visiting Red Wings last night 4-2. Detroit is home to Dallas at Joe Louis Arena on Thursday evening. The Jets play in Chicago against the Blackhawks tomorrow night. The Pistons welcome Indiana to the Palace this evening before the Pacers return home to entertain the Chicago Bulls in Indianapolis on Wednesday night. High school football will be on both of our stations, 1450 WHTC and WHTC.com, and our FM station, 92.7 The Van and 92.7TheVan.com, this Friday evening at 6:40. Join Greg Chandler from Zeeland Stadium as the Zeeland West Ducks entertain the Grand Rapids Christian Eagles in a second-round Division III tournament contest. Holland's hometown forecast from WHTC.com shows we're going to get some breaks in the clouds this afternoon with a high of 55, but the rain descends tonight with a low of 50. Windy tomorrow with periods of rain, high 54, and then morning clouds followed by afternoon sunshine on Thursday with a high of 45. This news has been brought to you by Marsilia Insurance. Check them out online at yourhometownagency.com. I'm Gary Stevens for 1450 WHTC, Holland's hometown station.